Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by JLD Hot Sauces and Knives. Guys, they have the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce, Boot Jolica, comes in hot, extra hot, my personal favorite, and Thai flavors. They also have Reaper Madness Special Reserve made with the Reaper Pepper from Carolina. For the brave, you can get the Death Shot. It has the extract of 10 Reaper chilies in each 1-ounce bottle. JLD also has the highest quality handmade knives you'll find anywhere, including ones for hunting, fishing, and cooking. Go to JLDSharpSauce.com and use the code SAINTS and get 10% off your order today. It's not too late for Christmas gifts before the end of the year. That's JLDSharpSauce.com. Dave is not with us, but Kevin is back for a second week in a row. Kevin, you know what I did today? Because I don't like to do actual work around the holidays, I found our very first show on Blog Talk Radio. And people, if you think the show is bad now, and it is, me and Kevin's first show, it was like two guys talking about doing a show. So bad.
I kind of want to listen to this.
It's bad. You go to Blog Talk Radio, look at the archives. It's terrible.
What do you guys talk about the Saints at all?
Yeah, we do. It's actually the Saints. It was the
what
Saints
year is it?
2007.
Oh, so it's only like a couple years before I joined.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It was me and Ralph for, I think, like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I think Wang did one or two shows. Dave got on board, I think, in the 09 season.
Yeah.
And then, because I remember him for sure at the NFC Champion, being on at the NFC Championship game. Yeah, oh, yeah, he'd been on for a while, so 09. And then, when did you come on, Juge? Like 10?
Sure. Maybe 10, yeah.
10, 11? Yeah, we had you on, a couple times in 10, and then like 11 you started full time, but that's bad. We don't even know the days. And I forget, like, the milestones, and then I see the ticker of, like, the shows, and I'm like, ah, fuck, the 475 show passed, the 500 show passed. God, we should have, like, told people. But people, so the Saints won 12-9, and Saints Twitter and the national media, Kevin, had a collective fucking aneurysm, partially because... I think we're spoiled rotten, but partially because there's a whole fucking generation of Saints fans. They don't know how to watch a 12-9 football game, and they don't know how to appreciate it, and they don't know how to get into, like, enjoying it. Like,
hang on a second. None of us were enjoying that game until the end. All right, hang on a second. Let's cool our own fucking jets here. That game was 12-9. It could have been put away midway through the fourth, and it wasn't. Or it could have been put away late in the fourth, and it wasn't. And then it could have been put away again, and it wasn't. And then, come on. We're not some salty old hands. This ain't fucking Ernest Hemingway, old man in the sea here shit. This is, hey, this fucking team that has an offense that we still remember ought to know how to fucking go out there and rip the guts out of somebody. They haven't done that consistently in over three games. We've relied on...
We're all on the road.
Stunning. The stunning thing is it's been the defense that is not only come to the rescue, it's bailed this team out on more than one occasion, on several occasions this season, to the point that it's actually one of the better defenses in the entire goddamn league. That's what's stunning. That's what's surprising.
It's the best defense in the league since week 4 by points allowed.
Oh, yes. It was an extremely frustrating game. It was an extremely nerve-wracking game. Heart palpitations, Ajita, the whole thing. But all of that is okay. You get to say that, and we get to act whatever about it, but we get to act indignant about it because the Saints won.
Well, I mean, I feel like it was enjoyable to me just because it was the comedy of the fuck-ups. Saints just kept stepping on rake after rake after rake, and Carolina, being the incompetent team that they are and their quarterback is injured, they just couldn't take advantage. So I was finding it morbidly amusing. But Andrew, the thing is that was weird is as the game went along, I got more and more, I wouldn't say nervous, but I felt the importance of the game got more and more important because the Saints were losing offensive linemen, it seemed like, every 10 minutes. And, like, I really feel like they need that double bye now because they were one injury away from Zach Strief getting the call from Sean Payton and coming out of the booth and grabbing a helmet. I mean, if Pete would have got hurt,
we're calling the game, Zach. We need you down here.
Seriously, if Pete would have got hurt, who would have been the next guy up at left tackle?
Well, on Twitter, Zach said it would have been Josh Hill.
Josh Hill. Oh my God!
I mean,
would they have just run the single wing with Taysom Hill as a protective
measure? They didn't have another offensive line. They didn't have another offensive line. I mean, they have Derek Newton, who was inactive, but they couldn't play him in that game. So they did not have another offensive lineman on the active roster.
Would Josh Hill have been worse than Bryce Harris, Kevin?
I'm not even going to consider that. I'm just going to imagine that Taysom Hill was the one getting the call.
I mean, I realize, part of it's just me being the weirdo that I am, but like I enjoyed the game. I thought it was a great game. I mean, I was definitely frustrated, and obviously I wanted the offense to do better than they did. And I'm not even pretending that it's not concerning. But I don't know. I thought it was a great game. I mean, it was a one possession game pretty much the whole time. And so while it was frustrating, I knew every time the Saints were getting the ball back that they could do this. And I knew it was an opportunity to kind of come back. And if anything, the Bucs game, I learned my lesson from that to just kind of bear my head down and gut it out, you know, and see how it was going to end. Because I knew that Breeze, it just couldn't keep going like that forever.
Well, it didn't feel like Dallas, Kevin, in that the Dallas game you watched it and you were like, man, Dallas is just kicking their ass and they're not going to score. And they could play another two quarters and they might not score. Last night I was just like, just stop fucking dropping the ball and shitting all over yourselves and you'll be fine. And
wait,
they just never
do that.
They just never did.
But you guys didn't get any pleasure out of just how much they were dominating Cam Newton and
defensive domination of Cam Newton was delightful. And the one thing that was frustrating was, and Andrew, we said it on the pregame show for patrons only, you should donate, become a patron, you can get that access. We said that we wanted a blowout because we wanted Sean Payton to break out an honest kid's juice box to troll Cam Newton on the sideline, but you can't do that in a 12-9 game. You can only do that in a 48-7 game. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I was saying you can still do that in week 17.
Yeah, true.
You could.
I'm with you, Ralph. I mean, listen, for me, it was just one of those games that was kind of miserable to watch. And at very early, I mean, halfway through the first quarter, maybe second quarter, it was clear that it was going to be this kind of game. And so then you, I mean, at least in my estimation, that this is kind of, I just accepted it. And I was like, all right, this is the kind of game we're going to have to win. And so then I was locked into just hoping for the best, rooting for the best. And I found it entertaining. I mean, you know, and part of it for me, I don't know if it's just as a high school and collegiate athlete, just being a tennis player. I remember personally, and maybe this is just my perspective, but I was never good enough to win on sheer talent. And I remember my coaches when I was young, just telling me like,
to cheat.
Not to cheat. you're not good enough to win on talent alone. So like, you got to want it more than the other guy, and it's got to come from within you. You got to fight no matter what. And like, some matches you're going to play great, and a lot of times when you play great, you're going to win. And then sometimes you're going to play awful, and you just have to find a way. And so I kind of enjoy those games where, you know, I mean, the 40-7 games are fun, don't get me wrong, but I kind of enjoy the games where there's a challenge and Breeze is not playing his best football, but the defense is keeping the team in there, and he's just got to find a way to win the game. And especially on the road, it's hard to win on the road in the NFL. And I just felt like it was one of those games. I mean, for me as a tennis player, some of the most satisfying wins I had in my tennis career was when I was playing like absolute dog shit. And it got down to like the last set. And, you know, I mean, the analogy here is like the final 2 minutes of the game. And despite the fact that you played poorly, you had a chance right there at the end, and then you steal it. And
that's a lie. The most enjoyment you get on the tennis court is beating 60-year-old women, humiliating them, and 6-1, 6-1.
Well, just because they're on breathing tubes doesn't mean that I don't get satisfaction out of winning. A win is a win, Ralph.
It is. It's true. But, Kevin, I feel like – and this
you
is
guys hear me on that, though? You know what I'm saying?
No, I get it. And the thing is,
I get it. Here's the thing. It was I was watching the game. I was fist pumping anytime they got a lot of pressure, or actually I was getting really excited when they would get a lot of pressure. I would fist pump when they would really like get to the quarterback, when they would hit Newton, when they would really like hit, when they would stop a run after a short distance or even at the line of scrimmage. I was excited about all that. My thing was the offense just did nothing to help the defense. They did X to nothing to help that defense.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt that the offensive performance was bad. It was concerning, and it was disappointing. But I just think the thing I don't like about it is I think too often as fans, you know, the Saints are 12-2, right? And we just start to assume that's their identity. Great offense, complete team, best team in the NFL, 12-2. And our assumption of the Panthers is that they're 6-7 and they're on a 5-game losing streak and they're terrible. And so we almost like don't even allow ourselves to enjoy a close game that's kind of ugly, where, you know, Saints Panthers, great division rivalry, because we have these ideas in our head of what their identity is. And we, because of that idea in our head as fans, we just think it should be 36-20. And if it doesn't plan out that way, the Saints are awful and they're playing an awful game. But like, I don't know, every game and every circumstance is different. And I kind of enjoyed that about that game.
Well, here's the thing about the Saints that's weird, Kevin, is on the advanced statistics and Football Outsiders, the first 5 weeks of the year, the Saints were a top 3 offense and a bottom 5 defense. Now they're a top 3 defense and a bottom 5 offense the last 3 weeks, which is just weird. The one thing that this totally confounded me and it felt very strange is I didn't realize how injured Cam Newton was. I mean, you watch the Panthers a little, right? And you watch them get stomped against the Steelers, and I watched them a little against Tampa and other times. But I didn't realize how hurt he was. And I'm not saying that I felt bad that the Saints were hammering him, but he is so fucking injured. Like, I mean, Kevin, he reminded me of Aaron Brooks' hurt shoulder where it's just like,
a good call.
You know, did either of you not feel bad, necessarily not feel bad for Cam Newton, but were
no
either
way.
Of you surprised at how like injured he looked?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I was amazed at how much, at how close the defense was getting to him often. I didn't know if that was just like the rigors of a long season. I didn't know if that was a case of Dennis Allen really scheming the hell out of things.
Well, the Saints pass rush is good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but like a lot of Cam Newton's throws looked
awful.
Looked off.
That,
so
that throw that Eli Apple intercepted was a great play by Apple, and I'm not saying that.
That was one of Newton's best throws of the day.
Yeah, but I feel like a healthy Cam Newton throws it to where it's not as easy a play for Eli Apple. Like
I agree. His arm is cooked, and you know, frankly, he's lucky that Christian McCaffrey's on that team, because if his running back was C.J. Anderson or what's that old running back they used to have, the guy that
Jonathan Stewart,
like it would have been even worse for him. It would have been even worse for him if he was throwing a Jonathan Stewart. You know, I mean, he's lucky, man. He's lucky that the defense played the way they did. He's lucky that Kuechly had a whale of a game. He's lucky that they got that halfback pass for a touchdown, because, I mean, otherwise, if the Saints were rolling offensively, it would have been a 35-0 game. I'm surprised, man, that he wore those cleats, that he talked all that track to the media.
If he knew
how messed up his shoulder was, like, I'm just surprised that he kind of doubled down in the media and with the cleats. And even, like, I mean, the most ridiculous part about it was that he wasted, like, with 35 seconds left, he wasted, like, 15 seconds celebrating the first down.
That was
and
Pete,
like,
Cam
and then
there.
And then they called timeout, like, 20 seconds left. And, like, that had nothing to do with an injury. That was just – being too consumed with his hatred for the Saints to, to be focused on the actual game.
Kevin, could you respect the petty of Cam Newton just disregarding the clock, disregarding the game score, but he was going to do his little first down dance no matter, come hell or high water? I respected it a little.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're trailing, it's whatever. Hey, you know, you're Superman. Go ahead, man. Go do your thing. Whatever. Just enjoy the wine and enjoy the brooms coming your way.
They're going to fire everybody.
Hey, man, it's 12-2, and it's 4 in a row over the Panthers. I mean, there's just no way you're going to talk me out of enjoying this.
No, it's
I'm
fantastic.
Hang on. I'm not trying to talk anybody out of enjoying the win. I'm not even trying to talk anybody out of any of the positivity. I'm just saying, like, last night I was a nervous wreck until that clock hit zero. And then after that, I was like, you know, I can't believe the defense had to bail the team out again, which it's done. And it's like, I'm constantly surprised by that. And that's, that's a great thing. And believe me, I'm enjoying all of the saltiness from people and the Sean Payton being petty, throwing his hat in the stands. I'm enjoying the locker room videos with Bridgewater. I'm enjoying all that.
Bridgewater
shit.
Is a national treasure.
I'm enjoying all of it.
He is.
Let me ask you this. I mean, I don't know if you remember week three or not, where the Saints played Atlanta in Atlanta and it went to overtime and it was an epic win where Drew Brees had the spin move and he scores and the Saints win in overtime. Was that game where maybe you remember the final score. It was like 43-37 or something like that.
43-37, yeah.
Yeah.
Drew Brees did the spin move for the touchdown. It was great.
Like, to me, this game was the same thing. Like, it was, to me, it was just as exciting. Like, there was less scoring and maybe more sloppy play on offense, but the defenses were dominating. And so, I mean, it was just a different phase of the game. But, like, I mean, if anything, for me, it was kind of more exciting as a Saints fan because the last 12 years, we've seen more games like week three than we have like this one. We haven't seen any wins like this one, really.
They haven't won scoring 12 points since Billy Joe Tolliver beat the Bucks 9-3.
Yeah, I mean, the only game I can think of that was similar was, I remember going to this game in person. It was the opener after they won the Super Bowl, and they played the Vikings again. And I remember they won like 14-10 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, we don't see games like this very often and in the Sean Payton era. And so I don't know. That's my question to you, Kevin. Like, did you enjoy week three at Atlanta more because it was high scoring?
I probably did. Here's something like
your takeaway after that game could have just as easily been like, our defense is trash.
I mean, I might have been like, man, this defense has to get. I probably would have been saying, man, this defense has to get better. This defense has to like right the ship a bit, so we're not having to over rely on Drew Brees because we can't always do that. And so now it's sort of like flipped the other way. Here's what I'll say to sort of like try and put a cap on it for me and maybe sort of like come toward you guys in the world of positivity of like, this is the kind of win that teams get in those special years.
Yes.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, Andrew was texting me left and right. He's like, the Saints, because this is, it's the year of many things, but 2018 really is the year of good kicker luck for the Saints. And Andrew's like, good kicking luck is going to go for the Saints again. But the thing is with me is I just like, especially when the Saints are good, like the Benny Hill games where the shit just goes wrong, like they're much more fun to enjoy. Like, I enjoyed the Cleveland game because it was a fucking comedy of errors and they won, and you just walk out and it's fun. And it's not fun when you're 5-9, but when you're 12-2, man, last night it's just like you can like bask in the absurdity of it.
The Super Bowl year had a similar thing. They were down 28-0 or whatever it was of the Dolphins. There was the chip shot against the Redskins, and then they come back and win in overtime. There was the Jets game where the defense, I think, scored 2 touchdowns and they won 20-0. Where the offense didn't play well. Yeah, but like the offense was awful against, and I think that Vilma tackle game, like Matt Ryan didn't even play in that game. Like Atlanta started some backup and they still had trouble beating him. And then they lose to Tampa at home and get shut out in the second half. So, like, 2009 had games like this too, you know? So I agree 100% with you, Kevin. Like, you're going to have wins like this in a special season. But kind of my parting thought on this topic is that when you look at the Saints and you look at where they are right now and talk now taking a look at the future, I would much rather the offense be in a rut, knowing that we have Sean Payton, knowing that we have Drew Brees, knowing that we might be getting Ted Ginn and Teron Armstead back, knowing that there's still pieces, even as currently constructed with guys struggling. Michael Thomas is still there, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. I mean, they're still they can figure this out. And I would much rather them going into this next game thinking, hey, there's a crisis on offense. We need to figure this out. And Drew Brees and Peyton putting their minds together to figure it out and working overtime to make things better than the defense being a calamity where we're relying on Dennis Allen and, you know, Alex Anzalone. I mean, whoever, like, to figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so, like – For me, like, special teams and defense are awesome. Great. Like, I'll take my chances. Sean Payton and Drew Brees figuring it out.
I just wanted to play the Mario theme because you said Anzalone. But I
was
that's actually why
I dropped his name.
Here's the thing, though. The Saints linebackers, clearly this is the best linebackers they've had since the Dome Patrol. Like, it's not even close anymore. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I 2009, like, Fujita was great and it was fun and Vilma was really good. But, dude, Anzalone and Davis, Kevin, they wreck shit in a way that I haven't seen in a generation. It's like 25
years. You got to give AJ Klein a shout out for recovering a fumble against his old team, too.
Kevin, I'm going to ask you this question because people know that you watch the film, you break it down, you know the route tree, you know this and that.
Right. Exactly.
Do the Saints really miss Ted Ginn way more than we expected?
Shit. Didn't you ask that last week?
I did.
Didn't you ask Ted Ginn related question last week?
I did.
Because I remember bullshit.
I think he might have asked you.
Bullshit an answer there, so I'll bullshit one here, and it'll probably.
Not only did he ask you, Kevin, but I'm pretty sure he set it up the exact same way.
I'm a terrible host. Donate, and we'll get a better one. But seriously, I feel like with Ted Ginn, today I'm stuck on it. It's like last year, that second Atlanta game and the playoff game versus Carolina, the Saints' offense was kind of in a rut. And the big play for Ted Ginn, like, kickstarted it. And I feel like he just gives defenses something to fear that they don't now with the Saints. And I bought a Ted Ginn jersey on the discount rack, and I want to be able to wear it again.
Shit, wear it anyway, man.
You know what? You know, I'm going to take this whole thing like a step further, guys. Like, what if the offense, like, it is just stuck in this unreversible rut, and Drew Brees and the offense is just the let's just say, like, this is who they are now. And through these next two games and into the playoffs, the offense is just going to kind of suck. And the Saints still find a way to be so good defensively, like the Broncos the year they carried Peyton Manning's corpse to the Lombardi Trophy. What if the Saints win with defense and special teams and Brees basically falling off a cliff and not performing well for the rest of the season and the playoffs, still wins a title? I mean, like, he kind of deserves that, man. Like, he kind of deserves for a change for the defense to carry him, carry his sucky ass playing.
Yeah.
Like, that would be like his rightful reward for all the bullshit they put him through.
And lo, Drew Brees looked upon the field and only saw one set of footprints. And then he turned to Cam Jordan and said, "Cam, why do I only see one set of prints?" And Cam Jordan responded, "For Drew, that is when the defense carried you."
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the game against Carolina, they owe Drew like 50 more of those.
That's an interesting thing.
I'll tell you who owes people something from that Carolina game. Tommy Lee Lewis.
Oh, shit.
All of the booze, all of the watches, all of the cocaine, all of the strippers.
Is he whatever is he still on the team?
It's on Tommy Lee, folks. It's on. Put it on Tommy Lee's tab.
I have to say, they had somebody on Twitter that, you know how they have the pylon cam now, and they showed Tommy Lee going over the pylon and him fumbling, and somebody tweeted out, "That's how Uncle Phil used to throw Jazzy out of the house on the Fresh Prince." And it's kind
classic.
Of true.
Classic.
But here's the thing. Is he still on the team?
Here's my question. Would you guys say, if Bounty Gate is Sean Payton's darkest hour, is it possible that Tommy Lee Lewis is Bill Parcells' darkest hour?
Oh, God. Tommy Lee Lewis is Exhibit A that Bill Parcells really hates Sean Payton. You know, Bill Parcells also apparently gave a ringing endorsement for Teddy Bridgewater, so it makes me scared of that.
Oh, God.
But Andrew, no, you made an interesting point about the Saints. Wouldn't it be great if the offense continues to kind of stink and the defense carried them all that way? But here's an interesting question. Is that possible?
Absolutely.
Do you think? I don't know.
As long as they don't play the Rams or Kansas City in the Super Bowl. But yeah, I mean, if the path was like Seattle, Dallas, or Chicago, if those were the teams they were playing, and then in the Super Bowl, I mean, I don't know, the Chargers are pretty good offensively, but yeah, I mean, it's not inconceivable that the Saints could play three playoff games, maybe not that bad offensively, similar type of games.
If the Saints win the Super Bowl and don't score 30 in any of the three playoff games, I mean, what ridiculous thing would you be willing to do, Kevin?
I don't know. My brain can't comprehend that. It just can't. All I'm just saying is if the Saints win the Super Bowl with the defense doing the heavy lifting and the Saints, if the Saints end up scoring, bullshit, I think 30's saying a lot. If the Saints score less than 24 per game and still win the Super Bowl, I personally think every last one of them motherfuckers just need to retire. Just retire. Right. The Super Bowl parade should just be each of them on an individual Segway waving to everybody, and they should never leave the Segways ever. Permanently stay on a live the rest of your life on a Segway, rolling around casually wherever.
I mean, here's what I'm going to do. If the Saints score 24 points or less in all three playoff games and win the Super Bowl, I will donate $1,000 to Team Gleason. And next time it snows in Virginia after the Super Bowl, I will go out in my front yard and I will do snow angels naked for one full minute.
I like it. I was going to say 30. You said less than 24. That's pushing it, but I said 30. I mean, I don't know if they score 20 less than 24 three times. That'd be like,
mark it down. I'm rooting for it, man. I want this to happen.
I mean, look, they're 10 sacks away from me having to dress up like Freddie Mercury, and 10 sacks.
Wait, they need 10 in the next two games.
It seems like a lot, but the thing is, Ben Roethlisberger gets sacked a lot, and if the Panthers shut down Cam Newton, the quarterback that's the backup is literally, he's named like the Heimlich maneuver. They may sack him a dozen times. I don't even know who he is. They said his name on the Monday night cast. It was like Heimlich, John Heimlich or something. They may sack him a dozen times. So I would say it's like a 30% shot that I'm dressing up like Freddie Mercury.
Now, if you are, who is picking this? Kevin? Who's picking the outfit?
I'll let Kevin pick it, and then I'll have to lean on somebody that can get me dressed up, because I want to do it really well. I might have to get my wife to like hire one of her makeup people that she gets.
My wife.
My wife was angry yesterday. She was salty about the Dolphins, and she was salty about the Saints not scoring any points. Just an FYI. So before we get to podcast questions, I want to remind everybody, the Saints, the Happy Hour podcast is sponsored by JLD Hot Sauce and Knives. Guys, they have the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce, Boot Jolica, comes in hot, extra hot, and Thai flavors. Go to jldsharpsauce.com and use the code SAINTS and get 10% off your order today. That's jldsharpsauce.com. Kevin, before we get to the Pittsburgh game, which you explained last week that you don't hate Pittsburgh as much as you used to for a myriad of reasons.
That might be my biggest disappointment of the year.
that Kevin doesn't just hate the Pittsburgh
Steelers. Kevin's irrational hatred of the Steelers was probably my favorite part of this podcast for a good 2 years.
Didn't you used to call Roethlisberger like ghost penis or gray penis because of his alleged rape of a woman? I forget. It was delightful. Not that what he did is not funny, obviously, but we want to bag on him because he's a giant meathead and he looks like a guy. Looks like a guy that would drink coolant to win a $10 bet.
I guarantee you, he's been in a barber shop before, and somebody dared him to drink that blue liquid they keep the combs in.
This is a good question from Eddie. Andrew, bigger impact on defense, Davis or Apple?
Oh, man. I would say Davis. I mean, Davis has played like a Pro Bowler all year. He's been a phenomenal addition. You know, Apple was a critical trade. Maybe the best. I would say the best midseason trade the Saints ever made was Mike McKenzie.
Yeah.
And this is maybe feeling better than that. And that's not to say that Eli Apple is a better player than Mike McKenzie. I think it was more critical to shift this defense from having a huge weakness to now having no weaknesses. You know, he kind of patched up that one area. I tell you, man, Eli Apple is playing so well that I'm starting to wonder if more balls might start going Lattimore's way, which would be a good thing.
Yeah, the thing is, for that trade, I remember I was driving to Vegas and you called me in the car and we did the podcast. Like, the Saints did not what week was that? That it was like week – it was after a game where Crawley was terrible, but they won. And I can't remember when it was. But the Saints just – they didn't fuck around. Like, they knew –
Well, it was
that
Atlanta,
had,
right?
Yeah.
Or was it later in the season?
No, yeah. So they knew that they had an issue, and they fixed it. And, you know, it's a third-round pick. Now that's going to be like the 90th at best. If the Saints get losing the playoffs to start, it'll be like the 92nd pick. Who cares about that? They cut picks that high all the time.
They're definitely going to pick up Apple's option, too, in my opinion. Yeah.
Kevin, do you think Cam Newton prefers Roombas over brooms?
Oh, I was thinking about that last night. Like, what if everybody just pulled their, people just pulled their money together and bought them a few Roombas? But then I thought, nah, fuck that. Just buy them brooms. Make full his house should be a broom closet after week 17.
Okay.
I want to know what he's sending. What should he send Cam Newton this year? Maybe some Ben Gay? A shoulder sling?
Oh, that'd be mean.
Yeah, that's kind of injury related. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be mean. I mean, send him wine. Is there
send him a watch for clock management?
Oh, that would be like a swatch from like the 80s.
Send him a rack where he can hang all of his exotic scarves.
Okay, this is from the Afrocentric Asian, and this question is completely ridiculous. You both might have to answer. Who should Sean Payton sign to help at wide receiver? Adrian Arrington, Nick Toon, or Andy Tanner?
I mean, you're way off base here. Clearly what this team is missing is Anime Ojo.
Yeah. Or who was the receiver they drafted in 2006 that everybody thought was the shit?
Oh, Mike Hoth?
Yeah, him. That's another bad Saints receiver that they could have brought in. I mean that guy is the Afrocentric Asian is clearly a fan of the show to drop the Adrian Arrington and Andy Tanner.
Bread best or bust.
Yeah. Let's see. If we beat Pittsburgh, do you treat the Carolina game like a preseason game, Kevin?
Man, if they beat Pittsburgh, shit. I say you play the first quarter regular. I don't know why I'm saying it. Like,
Nope.
They tried that in 2011, 2010, and it bit them in the ass. Where they played dudes in the first quarter, and Malcolm Jenkins and Graham and Ivory all got hurt.
Nope. Shit. No thanks.
All right, I tell you what.
Hard pass.
Take a look at what look at what happened. Look at where. See, this is me. This is me being selfish or worried about Drew Brees, the MVP candidate. That ship has sailed, man.
He's not winning. The MVP is not happening.
It's done.
It's over.
It was done at halftime of last night's game.
Yep.
Okay.
He needed. All right. Well.
All right. Look. Fuck it then. If they beat the Steelers, then just sit everybody.
They can't sit everybody though, right, Andrew? They only have 53 dudes on the roster, right?
Yeah. You sit Thomas. You sit Armstead. You sit Kamara and Ingram. You whoever that third running back is. I can't even remember who the third back is on. Washington. You sit Breeze, of course. You know, offensive line, I mean, if you can get away with maybe sitting another guy like Unger, that'd be good. On the defensive side, no Jordan, no Lattimore, no Davis. Some of the other important starters are going to have to play, you know, whether it's Marcus Williams or – you can't bench everybody. Rankins, you bench him too.
I want them to win so bad Sunday because I want the Teddy Bridgewater start. I just want to see it. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
And I think, like, just to see him play in a meaningless game will almost make – well, it'll definitely make the third-round pick worthwhile. I don't know why I'm so excited about that.
Well, I think the rest of the guys will want to sweep Carolina. So, like, they will tell Teddy, hey, like, go win this game. We want to finish 14-2 and – have the best record in franchise history and sweep the Panthers. And Bridgewater is just good enough that he might be able to pull it off.
Biggest and final question, then we'll get to the game. Biggest Pro Bowl snub for the Saints, DeMario Davis or Kamara? Either one of you have an opinion?
I mean, this one's tough because, you know, at face value, you'd be like, how could Kamara not be on the Pro Bowl team? But you know, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, and Todd Gurley were ahead of him. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's tough to say that Kamara deserves to go over those three guys. I mean, maybe it's close, but I understand that he doesn't make it. Davis, to me, you know, you look at Anthony Barr of the Vikings. I don't see how you look at those two guys side by side stat wise. I don't see any justification for that whatsoever.
That's just players recognizing a name and checking a box.
It's terrible.
You know my opinion?
Yes, Kevin.
It don't fucking matter because ain't nobody on the Saints gonna be playing in that game.
Yes, sir.
Because they're gonna be in Atlanta.
My man.
I have to say, ever since they moved the Pro Bowl to the week before the Super Bowl, I watch it almost every year now just out of habit because I'm like, football, where is it when it was the week after the Super Bowl? I was like, nope, Super Bowl happened, football's over, and I would skip it all the time. But now it's so terrible, and I watch it every year. All right, so...
Oh, I forgot to say, if anyone listening to this podcast, by the way, has tickets for sale for this Steelers game, my cousin is taking my season tickets for this game. It's a long story, but I'm looking for tickets. And yeah, my God, StubHub is for this game. I don't know if you guys are ever scalped tickets, but like it's like,
oh, yeah, I have.
It's like $500 a ticket.
Yeah, it must be.
Oh, yeah, StubHub's a joke.
It must be the Steelers fans because they travel and they're one of the. That's got to be it, right, Kevin?
It's Kevin's buddies, yeah.
No, it's StubHub. StubHub sucks.
Well, yeah, but I mean the price goes up because there's a demand for it, right? And and it's Steeler fans wanting to go to New Orleans and get the tickets, I would think.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's some Steelers fans that want to get shithoused and, you know, potentially do a lot of things that they couldn't do in the Three Rivers area.
All right, before we get to the picks, just one bit of housekeeping. There are 80 fucking 7 of you people that are due a magnet, and I only have 69 addresses. So there's like 20, almost 20 of you people that haven't sent me your addresses. I need the addresses to get you the magnets when you reach the 7 months so we can get it mailed to you. So send me your address. Saintshappyhour@gmail.com. Just send it and put address in the subject head if you donate $3.28 a month. Kevin, I'll start with you. The Saints are a 6.5-point favorite currently against the Steelers. The Steelers desperately need to win this game to stay ahead in the AFC North. Who you got?
I got the Saints. I'm going to take the Saints. They're beating the spread.
Maybe the offense is actually going to show up this week.
Yeah, actually, in fact, well, here's the funny thing. I'll say the offense shows up, and I'll say the defense gets a score. So I will say Saints. I'll say the Saints 27. Pittsburgh 16.
That would calm a lot of nerves. Who's the MVP?
Cam Jordan. I say Cam Jordan will be it because he will personally record 4 sacks en route to the team getting 6 total. And then that puts Freddie Mercury bet into play for week 17.
Yes, it does. Andrew, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Steelers just played a good game against the Patriots, and I think they're going to come in, and offensively, I just don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for the Saints defense because, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster's had a great year. Antonio Brown.
They're fourth in yards. They're fourth in points, fifth in yards, Steelers.
Yeah.
27 a game and 400 yards offense.
Big Ben still doing his thing. Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about the offensive line right now. I don't know who's going to play.
And Pittsburgh is second in sacks. They have 47 sacks, I believe.
I'm guessing Armstead's not going to go. I'm guessing that Unger on a short week is not going to clear concussion protocol. So I'm worried about the offensive line.
So if Bushrod, Armstead, and Unger can't go, what's the offensive line going to be?
Well, it'll be what you saw at the end of that game. So, you know, it'd be Cameron Tom. You know, they'll kick Pete out to left tackle. And then you'd have Will Clapp and Cameron Tom.
Hey, Kevin, will Will Clapp be the first Brother Martin Crusader to ever start for the Saints?
Shit, didn't even know he went to Brother Martin. Yeah, fuck it. Week 17, he'll start.
Well, no, he might start fucking Sunday.
Jesus.
But I gotta believe that's the first Brother Martin Crusader to ever start for the Saints. But continue, Andrew.
Yeah, I think this is a game the Saints lose. I think they're gonna have to play the starters, and they're gonna have to beat Carolina at home week 17, which I think they will do and secure home field advantage. And listen, I think the bye will do them a lot of good, and they'll get some guys back healthy. And I still feel great about the playoffs and getting to the Super Bowl and beating the Panthers in week 17, but I just think the Steelers need this badly, and they're a little bit healthier than the Saints. And I don't know if Breeze is going to be able to keep up with Roethlisberger offensively. So I'm going to say the Steelers come in and win 27-23.
I believe that, Andrew, everything you say is factually correct. This is a terrible matchup for the Saints. If you picked the worst week during the year to have – a crisis on the offensive line, it would be the week you play the team with the second most sacks in the NFL. It is at home, so that helps the Saints, I guess. But if they get behind in this game by two scores, Lord help them. Everything points to the Saints not winning this game. But I want my Teddy Bridgewater start so badly in Week 17. I refuse to give that dream up, and I will not let facts, evidence, or whatever to dissuade me. Saints 31, Pittsburgh 17, your MVP, DeMario Davis, a pick six, seals it. Saints win. We get our Teddy B start in Week 17.
Man, 31 points would be nice just because I think it would shut up some of these Saints Twitter like crazy loony banners.
The thing that would make me most excited is if the Saints would win like 10-6. They could clinch home field and we could just have abject panic. And they could take Week 17 off and then they can play Dallas. And everybody in the world can pick Dallas because the Saints are just on this month-long bender of no offense. And then they just house the Cowboys. That is my dream scenario, but I don't think it'll happen.
So this would be another funny one if the Saints win like 10-6 and Breeze looks awful, and then Bridgewater starts in Week 17 and puts up 50 points on the Panthers.
You know what's funny? You mentioned we were making jokes about low scores. Probably one of my worst Saints regular season experiences was in 1990. They played the Steelers, and the Steelers had Bubby Brister, and the Saints lost 9-6. Gil Finnerty fumbled inside the 5-yard line on goal-to-goal situations twice.
Yeah, Fumbles Finnerty.
Jesus Christ.
And so
that was his nickname, Fumbles Finnerty.
Fumble Finnerty, man. He was great in Canada, but I guess they don't
to be outdone by a Billy Joe turnover.
It was fun last night to make the Billy Joe jokes. It was almost worth it that they won 12-9 just so we could break out the Billy Joe jokes. You know, so Dave couldn't make it tonight, but Kevin is back and filled in admirably. For Dave, who's MIA, for Andrew, for Kevin, who's back. Maybe he's popping in regularly now. It's fantastic. Until next week, the bar is closed.
Where's my hot sauce?
A win is a win.